I'm here today with Arlene Pellicane, and she is a speaker and the host of the Happy Home Podcast, and joining us today to talk a little bit about family, discipleship, and how we engage with our kids. Arlene, thanks for joining.
So great to be with you, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
Would you just tell our listeners a little bit of what you're up to, what you do, and what you're bringing to our conversation here today?
Yes, I am a parent like you. I go boy, girl, girl. I've got one in college now and then two in high school, a senior and a freshman. And we have gone through public school all the way through so far. So a lot of what we have been about is how can we, you know, be the salt and light? How can we share Jesus with our friends? How can we live in a way that is attractive to people who don't believe? But we've always thought if our kids ever went sideways, if they came home and were like, wait a minute, where did that thought come from? That'd be like, okay, it is time to homeschool or it is time to Christian school. So I am not advocating a particular type of school, just kind of sharing a bit of our experience. We had like the amazing experience in elementary school. We live in San Diego and we had, it's a 1,000-person school. It's a big school. And for 10 years straight, we had what was called the Sunshine Club, and it was Friday after school. And we'd have 100 kids come and hear about Jesus and learn the Ten Commandments and play games. So that's been, I guess I'm kind of getting into our conversation too, but just a little bit about us. And then I write books about how to have a happier marriage, 31 Days to a Happy Husband, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Wife, and then also how to be leaders as parents rising instead of the other way around of our kids toting us around. And then also about technology with books like Screen Kids and Grandparenting Screen Kids. Those are co-authored with Dr. Gary Chapman. But we have the strange situation of our kids not having smartphones until their summer before college. So that kind of gave us this little experiment that has gone very well for us. And so we just like to share that as a possibility to parents.
That's all fantastic. I love what I'm most excited about is that you're further down the road than I am in the parenting journey. I have very little kids. And so I'm always looking to people such as yourself to just glean whatever I can from the experiences that you've had and learn from that. So thank you for just bringing that wisdom and earned experience to this conversation for myself and for those tuning in. So.
I bring it humbly. We did not do it perfectly, but there's a lot of things that worked out by God's grace.
Yes, that is. We all lean on God's grace all the time, right? If we totally. could not do any of this as parents, it is a big job, and that's what we're talking about. Is maybe what we might look at or feel the weight of as being maybe the biggest component of parenting as Christian parents, of this kind of component of discipleship. Let's just start. Like, what does it mean to disciple our kids? What is the parents' kind of role in that? How have you and your husband looked at that as in your parenting journey?
Yeah, I think if we can simply just say, follow me as I follow Christ. So it is this idea that discipleship is, okay, you are my little apprentices, you know, as you have these little kids, they're 2, they're 4, they're 6, they're 8, they're 10, they're watching you and they're seeing like, how do I live as a human being? How do I live as a Christian? So just think of it very simply as they're going to become little yous. And so what it does for us as parents, I think, is it really makes us up our game. I think that's what this whole parenting thing is about, because you realize, oh no, I'm very angry. My child is going to become like me, or I am very far away from the Lord right now. I haven't talked to him for a long time. I better, renew my relationship and have a good conversation with God today. So you're replicating yourself. And this is tricky, because you might do every single thing right, live, for the Lord, be in the Word of God, do all these things, and your child may still choose a different path. And so I'm not saying that if you have a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter, oh, you weren't a good discipler. That is not what this is about. But what this is about is, as far as I can, my efforts, let me live in a way that I asked my kids in the car yesterday, the two high schoolers, because I knew I was going to talk to you. And I said, what do you think? Like, taught or caught? Which one of these is really the big thing? And they both said, it's the catching, it's the watching. Like, how do you live? What choices do you make? How do you prioritize God in your life? And so very much, I think it's realizing that it's not the 1 hour in church that they go to. It's not the summer camp in the summer they go to. Those are both super important and part of the discipleship journey. But sometimes we think like, oh, that's like I put him in church once a week, that's going to do it, you know? Yeah. But there are 168 hours in a week. And so if you have the simple fraction of 1/168, you know, if they're spending 7 hours a day with screens, let's say, I'm not going to do the math right now, but that's a lot of hours. Yeah, and it's not just one. Okay. Yeah. So for us to realize that the church, we cannot rely just on the church or the 1 week of camp to be like, oh, they've taken the magic bullet. Now they're going to be fine. They're going to know the Lord. It is that other 167 hours where they're awake that they're watching you. So the role of the parent is so, so important in discipleship. I will say, though, like, and hopefully this will comfort many of our listeners, is, you know, I have not done this perfectly at all. There have been so many starts and stops that I'll buy a devotional and I'll say, I'm going to go through this devotional with my kids. And we get through 10 days and then other things happen. I lose momentum and it goes back on the shelf, never be done again. You know, I've made the little books of little Bible verses that I wanted my kids to memorize and we'd get halfway through it. So all these things, like sometimes you feel like, oh, man, how does this work? You know, it's not working. And my encouragement is just pick it up again. Like when you've tried to do something and it's like, oh man, we were talking for 5 minutes after dinner and praying together, but we haven't done that for a while. It's okay. Just pick it up again and also find things that are sustainable. Like if you're feeling like, man, our family, truth be told, we did not have a regular time where the three kids, my husband and I, would, you know, sit in a circle and open up the Bible and talk about it. So, I mean, this could be scandalous, right? I mean, I might get kicked off right now. That there wasn't a prescribed time that happened, but there were other times that happened and another combination. So, but for another family, maybe that time of all gathering together is really key and wonderful. So you are finding like what is working for my family, what is a rhythm that is sustainable and repeatable.
Yeah, so much there that we could go down all these little roads. I want to just think for a moment about staying in this idea of just what the discipleship even looks like. So you're talking about it wasn't, you know, one moment or a thing that you guys would regularly do, or when you tried to do those sorts of things, you know, it's hard to sustain. So I think we have so many responsibilities as parents. You know, it's just trying to with young kids. Myself, my wife, and I, we're just trying to get to the next day, right? Just get them to bed, get them fed, get whatever.
Keep them alive.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And so this whole concept of discipleship just feels like another one of those checkboxes, right? If it's let's have a family devotion time, let's pray together, whatever it might be, it's just overwhelming. And so the only thing that seems to shift that idea is some sort of more all-encompassing, which I think you were alluding to a little bit, things that were just happening all the time. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that difference, you know, with this, just the responsibilities we feel like we have as parents, and we just get overwhelmed by that. We get caught up in it.
I'm so glad you're asking this, because it is a discipleship you can also see. It's not just like this invisible like feeling. It is like, oh, I see that. So for instance, these would be very simple things like put your Bible on the breakfast table. So even if you're super busy, even for the act of your 2-year-old, your 4-year-old seeing like, oh, look, mom, dad, they read 2 verses and maybe you read one out loud, you know, but they're seeing like, oh, my parent is in the Bible. And I think this is so key. And even, you know, Dr. Kathy Cook has done a lot of work with Summit. I've had her on my Happy Home podcast, and she talks about like reading your Bible on an app. That's okay. Like you can definitely do that. That's good. It's okay. But your kid doesn't know that you're reading your Bible necessarily. You know, they just see you on your phone, and the kind of depth and thought that you bring to it is more cursory. It's just faster. You're just kind of looking at it and then getting to the next thing. Whereas if you have a physical Bible on the table, there's nowhere else to go there. Your child knows exactly what you're doing. And I would say, even if it starts as a display, like it's not your normal habit, it's not necessarily what you wanted to do, but you literally are saying, I am going to, with a physical object, I'm going to show my children at the beginning of the day, this is what we want to start with, that we start that the Word of God centers us, it informs us, it calms us, it gives us wisdom. And notice, this takes note, like all you have to do is lay it on your breakfast breakfast table. And then, you know, you probably put it on your countertop. And then in the evening, you could just stick it right on the table. And it's just something very easy. And then it pulls you like, oh, there it is. We should open it. And the same thing if you're doing a kid's devotional, you know, leave it there. Now, again, like I talked about earlier, sometimes you got to get back to it. You fell out of it and you get back to it. So I think that beginning of the day, is there a time where your children see you read the Bible? So it might be after dinner, that's fine. It might be sitting in your favorite chair in the evening, you know, whatever it is. But I love this idea that your kids leave your house and they say, yeah, my mom or dad, they did read that Bible. Versus, yeah, you know, I know my mom followed Christ. I know my dad followed Christ, but I really never saw them read the Bible ever. You know, so let them catch you. I laugh at the beginning years when you hear their little feet pattering. It's just like, just grab your Bible real quick and just pretend like you're reading it and be like, oh, I've just finished reading up my psalm now. Let's go get ready for breakfast. You know, like let them catch you reading it. And then, you know, I have been in a Moms in Prayer group, which is an amazing nonprofit that basically is centered around the idea of two praying moms for every school. And you pray for your school and you pray for your kids. And so I've had a Monday morning meeting at my home for 1 hour, you know, pretty much the balance of since my oldest was in first grade. And that's a way, it's just 1 hour a week for me. And it's only when school is in session. So it's not all year long. There's these big long breaks of it. But that is a physical way that I can say to my kids, what do you want the moms to pray for you about? And usually it's just me and another mom. It's not like these hordes of people, you know, mm-hmm. But we'll just say like, what do you want us to pray for you about? And they'll tell you. And that a kid growing up knowing like there are people praying for me in specific situations. And they prayed for me. You know, the very first time I had that Moms in Prayer meeting when my kid was in first grade, we prayed for a Christian friend. And the day later he came and he said, Mom, I was in the playground and I heard this boy singing a song, like a church song. And I asked him if he was a Christian and he said, yes. And Mom, he's in my class. And we were able to connect all those dots of, honey, I just started praying for you yesterday and see how God has answered that prayer. So that discipleship also looks like going to church, that it's never, you know, it's never a question. Like you don't wake up on Sundays like, gee, should we go to church today? It's a habit. Like every Sunday we go to church because we want to learn from God. We want to meet other Christians. We want to support other Christians. And we only don't go to church when we're sick or, you know, when we're on vacation. And I'm not trying to be legalistic or anything, but it's that idea of when we start questioning, like, oh, should we go? It's raining, you know, there's a good game on today. Should we go? Like, discipleship looks like, hey, there are certain rhythms, the Bible in the morning, church on Sunday, praying for your child before maybe they go to school. Just a quick sentence, Lord, just put your spirit on my child that you will keep them from evil, help them to be a witness for you. Amen. So it's not this long, drawn out thing, but it's that, hey, we're bringing in Christ in all these different places.
Yeah, I love the life lived that you're describing.
Yes.
Right? I mean, even just there's so much packed up into that of these are just things we do. They are actions we take because they're part of our normal everyday. They're not these monumental, like, okay, tonight is God night, right, and we're going to have this 2-hour devotion, big discussion, and, you know, deep confession or whatever, you know, just like this big thing, but little moments mixed throughout the day that we can just live into. You know, you're talking about just putting the Bible on the table, even if that's where it starts, where it's just a physical, you know, thing in our home that we can see all the time versus on the shelf where it just gets lost or mixed in the shuffle. You know, leaving it open, you know, what if it was just open to say the Psalms, that it's just a verse we can read out loud, like you said. Those are, you know, a lot of people who talk about habits, those are triggers. Like the Bible's there and it's, I'm just going to, oh yeah, I didn't think of it, but now that it's in front of me, I'll read a verse out of there and we're in a hurry and it's going to be one verse. I love that you said like one or two, like this is, we don't have to start with this big ambition of, you know, I'm going to read the Bible to my kids, you know, all in 1 year, which is a great ambition, but that's daunting. It's overwhelming and pretty hard to do. So let's start with these bite-sized things that are just a part of the water we're swimming in.
Little, you're going to be serving this up to them. You're going to show it to them over and over. And then it gets very exciting. Then when your kids are older, you know, now my senior, she keeps her Bible in the same bookshelf that I keep my Bible in. And then in the morning at breakfast time, you see us us both, you know, there's no like talk about it. There's no, it's just a rhythm. And you put your Bibles on the table, and now she's got her Bible and I've got my Bible, and now we're reading together. And so it's exciting. It's exciting when you see your kids and they're growing and now they're doing it for themselves, because it all is then now when they leave into their own house, you know, she's someday going to be in a little apartment, and I can imagine she's going to put her Bible on her breakfast table still. And so that's the payoff of having this discipleship rhythm when they're kids, is they hold on to it because they see like, wow, this is working so well.
Yeah, I'd like to, wow, I see this working so well, that exact idea. And you alluded to this earlier when you were talking about we're becoming like Jesus and our kids are becoming like us. And I think you use the word apprentice is such a good word to think about helping connect those dots, that the Christian worldview is something that parents are displaying really works in their lives. What kind of impact is that? Have you experienced, you know, expand on that a little bit with your kids are a little bit older. What kind of impact have you seen as your kids are seeing, oh, this works for mom and dad. This isn't just a thing they say they believe, but like, this is how they're living. And therefore I can imagine myself also continuing to live into this, rather than, I think so many kids fall away because they just think it doesn't actually work. It doesn't really work in real life. It's all good and fantasy and nice stories and good lessons, but it doesn't really work. Mm-hmm. How do you contradict that narrative?
Okay. So there's so many different things here. Like, in one way, I think of like a marriage, right? So when kids look at our marriage, and I really think if you are married and you're listening to this, this is kind of your first level, is having that marriage that is a solid source of joy, that is good, that is committed, so that your kids grow up thinking, oh, that looks good. I want to get married. So it's hard to make all the other pieces work in parenting and discipleship if the marriage piece is broken. So really take the time. So here we are talking about parenting, and I'm telling you, take time for your marriage, take time to nurture that marriage, to take time to date your spouse, take time to, my husband and I were both, you know, never danced in our whole life. We're pretty clumsy, but we decided we're going to go to this ballroom dancing thing. So we've been going every Friday and we go on date night, and my kids see that. And it's like, I want this. I want this kind of happy marriage. So starting there. And then really when we've got to, as parents, figure out how to live, you know, in a more unhurried way that is more peace-filled, that where the, you know, I think of the book Essentialism by Greg McKeown, where the important things, those are the things that we're working on, and that they see growth. Like they see, wow, mom and dad, they're having wins. They're having wins in their job. They're having wins in their health goals. They're having wins with their relationships. They have good friendships. And they see that. They see the lack of anxiety, let's say, or worry. And all the, and that's, what is that? That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This isn't saying like, oh, I'm so amazing and these things happen to me. These are byproducts of saying, Lord, I want to put you first, fill me with your Spirit, fill our home with your Spirit, and there's a peace. So for instance, when my daughter goes to her friend's house, who a very good family, two-parent home, like loving people, but she was like, wow, mom, they don't eat dinner together. They like we all ate in different places, like they handed me food, and like we ate on a couch, and like somebody else ate somewhere else, and someone else ate somewhere else, and somewhere else. And she was like, that is way weird, because every day we eat dinner together. So she was very taken aback by that. And then when her friends ask her, like, wait, you mean you eat dinner like every night together? And she's like, yeah. They're like, what? That's so weird. So it's like these rhythms that now make you stand apart and make you a healthier person. You know, my kids can see like, wow, I have a much sturdier relationship. I'm more confident. I have a good relationship with my parents. I have a good relationship with adults. I'm not scared to talk to adults. All those things, they all happen around the dinner table. So they're seeing for themselves like, wow, this is working. You know, I talked about the Christian club that we did in our elementary school. So one of my daughters, when she was at youth group, they had someone come in and really kind of fire them up, start a club in your middle school, start a club in your middle school. So my daughter came home and said, I want to start a club in my middle school. And you know, this is nothing we put her up to. This is nothing that we said, do this, but she had seen this, right, for so many years. And God put that on her heart. And how exciting for her herself to be in a public middle school, start the club, name the club, get the officers, get it chartered, get it going. And now she has left that middle school, but I still volunteer there. And we have 60 kids at lunch there. It's amazing. So when she sees that, like, wow, you obey God and God like puts stuff together and God helps people. And she'll hear, like, I gave a testimony of a girl that had just shared with me how God came into her life and she's gotten baptized and it's turned everything around. And there she is right at one club, you know, and I can tell my daughter that. So I think when you start getting in the game, right? So your kids aren't just watching the game from the sidelines. They are now getting in the game themselves. They are giving money and they have their own compassion child. They do all these things that you never told them to do, but they have watched you do it. So that's very exciting.
Mm. Yeah. It becomes real to them that this is real. Yeah. This isn't again, just something that we're saying or talking about.
And God is so faithful, right? They're going to respond to God and God's going to respond back to them. And then they're floored because they've met the Almighty God. So it's like, we're kind of the bridge to help them. Like, this is the main apprentice, like, apprentice under him. And we're here. And when they have those encounters with God, it just changes them.
I'm so glad you added that because I think that's a huge relief. I mean, that
yes,
we are right. We're a big part of this.
Yes.
God is using us, but we are not the end all be all.
And junior teacher. Yeah.
it's really important to recall that because, we can feel just a lot of pressure and then, I messed up and, my Bible hasn't been on the table for months or whatever. And so I failed in all these ways. And so therefore my kid is, hopeless. I could never make up ground.
And that's such an important thing, Aaron, to be able to say to your child, you know what? I'm so sorry. We've fallen off the bandwagon. We haven't been to church in a month. That's me. And I'm really sorry about that. And I'm so glad that the Lord is so forgiving and he's with open arms and he's just like, that's fine. My child, just get right back. And when you talk to your children about God in the way you want your kids to understand God, then you realize too, yeah, God's not mad at you for being this less than perfect parent. God is very patient with you and like, good job. You're trying, like, keep trying, So it's okay to say you're sorry for things. In fact, I think that's really beautiful because it shows that we all are human and flawed. It's a good thing.
Yeah, there's this element of just faithfulness that I hear kind of just coming back up in what you're saying. You stop reading the Bible, just pick it back up. You don't have to make up the ground of the 10 days you skipped. Just pick right back up where you left off.
Yes.
You miss a Sunday because it was raining and you just were a little bit unwilling to push through. Okay, just next week, just get back on it. Whatever it might be, that conversation, you didn't take advantage of that, time to have a conversation with your kid about something that came up. Okay, take advantage of the next one. Just God's call for us is to just be faithful. Keep acting in a way that he's going to keep putting opportunities in front of us to engage in this responsibility of discipleship. And we just got to take them, How should we think about just the feeling? I sort of alluded to this a moment ago with God, you did with God being ultimately responsible and in charge of this whole process. But help us think through kind of the brokenness and the breakdown a little bit more when, you mentioned earlier marriage being just a great place to start with modeling things. And there may be people here who listening that are like, man, that's just, I don't feel like I have the control over that. Or my marriage is already broken and gone a long time ago. So how do we make up ground in those areas where, or I have no idea how to read the Bible in for myself, let alone how to exemplify that or model that to my kids. So help us think through just where these things break down and how God can redeem them. What chance for hope do we have in the middle of the difficulty of it all?
So much hope, which is so lovely. So, in the marriage realm, it's just taking that paying attention to your spouse, just start there. So if you're in that situation, the John Gottman had this beautiful study, he's done all this research and he was just talking about the thing that makes the biggest difference is so easy, right? All it is is do they pay attention to each other? So we would show couples that like one guy was trying to tell his wife about like some military coup he had just witnessed in another country when he was flying there and she was completely uninterested. Another husband was telling about how he used to bake bread with his mother and the spouse was completely entranced by this. So it's just this idea, do you pay attention to your spouse? Do you pause and listen? Do you receive their information when they say something, like, oh, I wish we could spend more time together. Do you just say, well, we're just so busy, So, you know, just, or do you say, yeah, I wish we could too. So, you know, so it's just start there with that simple question. Do I pay attention to my spouse? And then let me start paying attention to my spouse and then do nothing else. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to plan a big marriage retreat. I don't want you to get any candles out. I don't want you to just start there. So with all of these areas, just start somewhere small. If you're a single parent and you're wondering how are my children ever going to have this positive view of marriage? You can start, you know, with yourself in terms of how you frame marriage and how you talk about it. You can reach out to maybe grandparents. You can reach out to a couple at church, maybe who could befriend your family, you know, things like that. Just ask the Lord to bring those kinds of people in your kid's life to give that positive view of marriage. Let's say it's just, you know, you yourself are depressed and anxious and busy and you don't know how to give what you don't have. So a lot of it is coming to the point of ourselves, just even taking 5 minutes of complete quiet. It's in the silence that God talks to us. I think that's why we have such a problem, because we are in technology like all the time. So we have noise all the time, distractions all the time, and we don't really understand what we're supposed to be doing, but we're just trying to react to all the stuff being thrown to us. So even a 5 minute complete silence where you just ask God, why am I experiencing this in my life? What needs to change? And you just listen. For 5 minutes. I mean, it's only 5 minutes. And then kind of write down what you hear, think about it, and then what's like one little step to get closer. I mean, it could just be as simple as, hey, let's get around the dinner table again with your family, or let's start going on that date night once a month. Let's just start there, you know? So listen. And I think we make things more complicated than they need to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we absolutely do. I think we jump to elaborate conclusions or, you know, big steps or something. But yeah, that back to that faithfulness point of just taking the first step, focusing on one small thing, whether it's in our marriage, yeah, in our walk with God, in the conversations we have with our kids, in the way we model our own faith to them, whatever that might be, just that one step. As we wrap up, I think that's a good thing to hold on to and take away of just taking one step into this. What might be some resources or places you would direct people, things you've learned from or appreciated, you know, books, whatever it might be that come to mind in this area of just family discipleship, habits, forming, you know, whole habits in our lives? What might be helpful to direct people to if they're just kind of trying to go down this road?
Yeah. So I think the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. So basically that's a secular book. James Clear, I believe, is a Christian. I had heard that. So don't quote me on that, but he spoke at a Christian conference, but he really helps break down how do you have habits that are easy, that are attractive, that are obvious, that stick. And if you can connect that habit building with things of faith, like that's going to just add rocket fuel. And it's atomic habits because they're very small things. Atoms are very small things, and yet they're so powerful. So I love this idea, because as parents, we don't want the big thing, but we can take a small thing. Yeah. So it's like all these small things to help you. And, you know, obviously the Bible, you know, we can talk about all these devotions and all these different things, but for you to get in the Word of God, whether it is a proverb, so a proverb a day that you're going through to learn wisdom, a psalm so that your heart is being drawn to God, the gospel, so you watch, like, how does Jesus do this? How can I, not just like him as a storyteller and these miracles he did, but how did he live his life? How did he impact his disciples? When did he withdraw? When did he push? Did he ever say no? Like, you know, all those kinds of things. I think that is so key. And then really taming your technology. I think that is a huge piece of it, because instead of spending time like restoring our souls and kind of filling up so we can fill up our kids, instead, what are we doing? We're just as guilty as our kids of spending time, whether it's shopping or news or stocks or sports or, you know, anything, that we're wasting our time. So my book, Screen Kids, Grandparenting Screen Kids, I think that's super helpful just to see in our own lives, what are we modeling? And then for our children, you know, if they use technology just like we use technology, would we be happy with that? And really get to the place where we could say, yeah, they would live a good life if they use it like me.
What a big question to ask ourselves, but an important one, a necessary one. I think those are some great recommendations and good places for people to start with just that first step towards deeper discipleship of our kids. So thank you so much, Arlene, for your time and just sharing your experiences as a parent and hopefully helping us all kind of take one little step in the direction of that God would have us take. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Aaron.